Where's the snooze button? Don't you dare hit that. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. Yes, it's Monday morning, homeroom. Do not hit that sleep timer. Join us, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, and me, Dr. Tim Slecker. It's a Monday morning, Busted Pencils homeroom. Weekend is over. We're back at it. So much going on in the world. But first, always, fellas, start with you, Jacob. How you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm doing good, Tim. It's been a long weekend, of course. It's pretty hazy thinking back on it, but I assume I had a pretty wild weekend full of partying and good times. And now I've dragged myself back in here to help you find folks.
Nice. Well, I sent my digital twin out to party for me for the weekend so I could rest.
That guy has Johnny. All the fun.
Dude, that's the opposite of why you have I want a digital twin that can work all weekend so that I can go out and actually enjoy the weekend. No, I had a great weekend too, fellas. It's good to be here, Pencil Busters, listeners out there. Love that you're with us on this homeroom. I mean, like most things so far, this administration has never left us with a week without some news impacting directly education. It's like I know we said this was going to happen, Tim and Jacob. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to make fun of it or make light of it, but, you know, I guess it's because, like, it's par for the course. I mean, and that's pun intended, given that the federal administration spends a lot of time golfing. But the idea being, it's like, seriously, it has been a nonstop onslaught attack blitzkrieg on education since this administration has taken office. And remember, folks, education is a state right.
Yeah, but yet
the federal government has something to say about education every week. I almost am just ready to be like, just get out. Like, you don't want a Department of Ed anymore.
You sound like a conservative.
Well, you know, sometimes I actually feel like one, but I'm not. But literally, I am like, just enough already. Like, states will figure this out. We don't want any more input from you. I mean, the constant abuse.
Yeah.
That ultimately, we've said it here before. You know, we had on guest AFT President Randy Weingarten. Love the work that the AFT is doing and all you teachers out there and nurses.
Absolutely.
One of the biggest unions for nurses, but all you care workers, y'all group you together, teachers and care workers out there. But Randy shared with us, you know, fundamentally, this is about making classrooms a battleground.
Right.
And this isn't her words, I'll add it, for BS politics. And they're not BS because they're really impacting lives. But they ought, like, we ought to have some common decency and common good in a democracy where we say, like, hey, let's not make classrooms, let's not make churches, let's not make hospitals the battleground for political bickering. That's what's going on. This is about, like, this is about insecure politicians, you know, as exerting power by turning our most safe places, making them further unstable and unsafe, and those being classrooms. That's my little rant to start the morning, because it's like, damn it, another week where we're not short for any news on how schools are a battleground for this kind of, you know, polarized political. I kind of imagine it like two guys throwing darts at each other across the table, you know, sort of enjoying it. And meanwhile, more seriously, our classrooms are just further in more turmoil because of it.
Well, you're not going to get any break. I don't know, though, if this one necessarily has its roots with this administration, although the movement here, but, you know, what we're talking about, Johnny, and we've covered this topic before, but it's now at the Supreme Court. We're talking about, you know, one of our favorite states, and by favorite states, I'm talking about particularly their Department of Public Instruction superintendent, who, you know, we know is still continuing to hope for a job in what will become the defunct Department of Education, Ryan Walters, although he's not involved in this. Coming out of K-12 dive, Supreme Court could allow creation of nation's first religious public school. Yes, that's right, everybody. Oklahoma, a religious, and we should say a religious charter school by the run by the Catholic diocese, has pushed and appealed and gotten its way up to the Supreme Court to decide whether or not this charter school, religious charter school, can be funded with public tax dollars from the state of Oklahoma, because public charter schools do have access to the state's public monies. And the argument here is that we're just another charter school. Just because we're Catholic and we're pushed, you know, we're that, we're a charter school and therefore we're public. And because we're a public charter school, we should have access to the money. People have challenged that and said, no, you're a religious school. And in this country, the government, the public, does not fund any one religion. And so therefore, this religious charter school by the Catholic Church, you don't get access to that money. Well, the Supreme Court now is going to make a decision on whether or not actually the citizens of Oklahoma can or not have their tax dollars given to this religious charter school. Johnny, it made me think, though, too, and we can't, man, there's so many different ways to take this. You know, is this just a push for some form of Christian nationalism, and the Catholic Church is potentially being hijacked by that movement to use their argument for, you know, saying that we just want access to this public money. We're going to do a good job. We really believe in great education. Or, you know, from the other side, it's going, no, this is just simply an attack on the public square and a push to create indoctrination. And this is not where public schools. I'm, though, thinking potentially we always have our great friend Jonathan Gierko on the show from AQ, and we've had him talk about his book Publicization. And I'll admit, Jonathan was one of the first people to get me to move away from a very hard and fast, this is what makes a public school. You think back to that when we first had Jonathan on over a year and a half ago, he asked me what a public school was. And I said, look, it's got a school board elected by the population that actually maintains that school. They can be voted out. You know, it was absolutely, and only the money that comes from is from taxpayers. And I was like, that's public. And Jonathan was like, okay, Tim, but what about advancing the public good? Shouldn't we use that as the litmus test for what makes something public? And he talks about specifically democratic citizenship, social cohesion, environmental stewardship, economic competitiveness, and saying if we use those as kind of ways of saying, does the school advance these public goods, wouldn't that be a better way of making that decision? I know that the Supreme Court is not probably going to use those as their measure, but, you know, just thinking about that is going, and I'll say right off, anybody going like, Tim, wait, I'm not sure where you're going with this. Okay, my own position on this is that I don't see this as being something that the Supreme Court should sanction or allow. This is a religious school. It may be a charter school, but it's still religious. It's being, you know, it's by the Catholic Church, and there is then the Catholic ideology and teachings that will be in that school. Therefore, tax dollars shouldn't be supporting that. That's my position on that. What is the Supreme Court going to do? Just to point out one detail, the possibility here is that, well, Barrett has recused herself from this, and she's one of the conservative Catholics on the Supreme Court. So we've got the potential of either a 5-3 conservatives will win this day, or the potential that John Roberts, the one, quote, conservative justice, who people are pointing to as being, he's the swing vote on this and could potentially rule with the liberal justices, therefore creating a 4-4 tie, which my understanding is then would actually then not allow this to go forward. A lot there, Johnny, but I thought I'd just put it all out there, different ways of thinking about it. Your thoughts, man.
Oh, man, Tim, that is a lot, man. My initial thoughts is I'm proud of you for how far you've come on the, you know, and I'm picking on Tim a little here, and he's not alone. It is sort of an ingrained thing in education that, like, charter schools have ruined public schools. And if we back way up to sort of like the emergence of charter schools and the whole, you know, charter school movement, you know, we could back way up to ground zero and most of us agree, like, hey, this probably isn't a path we should go down in terms of creating a sort of competitive marketplace for public schools. It's like schools should be public. They should be, you know, funded by the state government and overseen at some varying level by the federal government. And, you know, it's a function of government. And I know that sounds like a communist argument, right? But the good Marxists over the years have made that case firm that public schools should be public. There should not be charters. Well, like, we're not able to go in a time machine and go back to that early time. And there are charters, and there are a lot of charters. In fact, there are whole districts who are comprised of charters. And so, you know, there are within that, though, now flash forward, you know, 30, 40 years, you know, even further, if we look at the origins of what it means to have a charter school or a lab school, is that there are types of charters. And this is what I love about where you've come to, Tim, and what Jonathan has helped you get to, even though I was screaming it on this show for years. It just came off as Tim and Johnny Bicker. And that's one of my general downfalls as a loud Italian. But no, Tim, we said there's types of charters. And I love how Jonathan put it. Ought we not at this moment, you know, be able to ask the question of what are you doing for the public good? Mm-hmm. And if you're an institution that's serving the public, like you're free at the point of access for students, that you are not restricting who can and can't go to your school, that you're providing a high quality education and accountability to that, right? To some form of democratic governance, whether it's a school board or whether it's like, you know, a local board, you know, that you have accountability to the public good, you know, to scientific consensus, to good to what constitutes a good high quality education, then let's constitute that as public, right? And let's think about that there are a lot of schools who can rise up to that challenge and do good in our communities. So on one note, I mean, I'm sort of at the point where, like, I don't care who your organization is, really. I mean, I do. But in general, if you can meet that need of our community and recognize the common good of democracy, then why wouldn't we want that school in our community and our children to have access to those kinds of education models? Now, on the flip side here, we get into a murkier version, Tim, because you're right, it's a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And we've traditionally understood Catholic schools as private schools, even though some of them function as public schools. It's interesting, without the tax dollars, right? They're the most accessible in some places that have public schools have been decimated and even non-existent. Take, for example, a city like Detroit, where the public school system is strong, but it's been shrunk really small. And some of the stalwart Catholic schools have stayed serving the community and not left the city. So you have these models that, you know, get into the murkiness of should they be able to access tax dollars. Personally, me, I'm like, no, there's a hard line on like public and private. And if it's a religious organization, maybe it ought not to be a public funded. But I think we're in this new era, Tim, about like what defines public. And might I be open to, you know, historically a Catholic school saying, hey, actually, you know, our curriculum's going to change a bit. You know, we're going to, you know, have to do a little less evangelical kind of work and a little more, you know, public good kind of work. But, you know, we're here serving the community and we need to be a public school. Should they be able to apply as such as a charter? I don't think this is the case in Oklahoma, but I think this is the case for some of the charters I'm seeing around our country, you know, emerge out of need and out of serving community with a history and having been part of either, we can use the Catholic model, the archdiocese or a network of, you know, religious schools. On the flip side, Tim, and this is where I get to like, stop making our classrooms the battleground for, not you, but in general.
Oh, I know.
Well, battle because this is nothing about good education. You said it at the beginning. This is all about Ryan Walters, you know, making his bid as a good Christian nationalist, you know, even though he might not identify that. I'm grouping him in sort of cursory here. So little disclaimer asterisks around that statement. But, you know, appealing to extreme Christian nationalists to say, like, let's take over public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I hope that Supreme Court, you know, rules in accordance of like, hey, if you have one specific religious doctrine,
mm-hmm.
you know, as your goal, and that's part of your mission of your school, it can't be publicly funded because we're a democracy of many religions. Okay. That said, I'm also like, oh man, because let's not pretend that American schools haven't been religious since their inception.
Sure.
There's like a Judeo-Christian sort of vibe to all of mm-hmm. our schools right now. But I believe in the project of democracy and that we should have the opportunity to fix that and be open to all. We are a country of religious freedom. And so our public schools should be neutral spaces where you can bring those faith beliefs and cultures into that space as part of your identity, as part of your culture, but not one isn't imposed on you.
Right.
And that should be a stalwart of public education. I know I sound like a Marxist. I promise, listeners, I'm not. Tim is a bit of a Marxist.
Hey, actually, no.
The M word around.
I don't know. I think you're making the key point here, Johnny. This really isn't about charter schools. I see this as, you know, using the charter school argument to advance a religious school, and as you say, potentially doctrine. And in fact, even in Oklahoma, where this was rejected by the Oklahoma Supreme Court, one Republican made a comment at that time saying, Oklahomans can be assured that our tax dollars will not fund the teachings of Sharia law or even Satanism. That may sound like an extreme comment. I join you already making that look. But he's making the point, though, to say, like, no, we can't fund this Catholic-based charter school in Oklahoma, just like we wouldn't fund an Islamic-based. Exactly. And even, you know, we've even had some fun, you know, the Church of Satan, right? I mean, you know, should they get access to this? And no, not the Satanism that you all think about, you know, back in the 80s, Ozzy Osbourne and doing, you know, if you really the current iteration of the Church of Satan, which is really, you want to talk about a Marxist
you prefer denomination. The cool Levian Satanism.
Well, the Marxist says religion is the opiate of the masses, like no religion, you know, no organized religion shall have power in the government. And and to a varying degree, I agree with that, except that you can't separate out all of our mythopoetic narratives, beliefs, and cultures from who we are. We've seen it in every communist experiment, you know. People always find ways to practice their faith. And so our country, being a democracy, was one that was founded on religious freedoms.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, let's have a space where it's, you know, it's within boundaries of like right. what you can and can't do. Like, I can't have my religion be like, hey, we sacrifice other human beings here. You know, you can't be doing harm to the community through your belief system, but you can have your general belief systems and differences embraced. So, hey, I also want to put a shout out there to OKC, Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma folks. Like, I know we pick on Oklahoma mostly because of this constant thing that you're probably also dealing with in Oklahoma, but we know there's a lot of great teachers.
Yeah, we do.
Some amazing people. And just, I mean, I love learning Oklahoma history. I love, you know, our Dust Bowl stuff that we came up learning and then having been able to visit Oklahoma and see the great communities there. So we at Busted Pencils, we do know that it's not just like an Oklahoma thing, you know, even though we're reporting on it and we tease it about tongue in cheek being our favorite state. It is really one of our favorite places in the country. We love Oklahoma, but we also know what you're going through.
We know what they're going through. I was just thinking though, Johnny, too, you know what? And every one of us, all of our states has some Ryan Walters out there too. It just happens to be
absolutely
Oklahoma right now. So, you know, but okay, man, we're already on time. Johnny, you made a comment. I just want to kind of maybe end on that. You said, though, Now, maybe the Catholic Church, in using this to maybe get potentially more in line with public, might drop some of their insistence on certain forms of evangelism. And I'm thinking, okay, so are we potentially saying that, hey, look, if you're a religious charter school and you're willing to drop your evangelical indoctrination, and you're open to, in fact, other kids not participating in this case, Catholic dogma and Catholic teaching.
Every Catholic school I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, this is true for the like networks of schools that have a religious foundation. You know, it's not a requirement that you are.
That you are,
I just want to say I don't necessarily agree with the indoctrinating mission.
No, I know. But okay, maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on that. I'm just, you know, if we get to that point though, where we say in the application, nah, we're not gonna, you know, force this, we're not gonna do this, and we start to approve, what then stops a religious school then from saying, we're now approved, we're going back to the core tenets? Because as a Catholic, you know what? We do have fundamental core beliefs. And if this is a Catholic school, we are going to teach Catholicism in this case. You know, and this is where you start to go. It's just like, look, I don't want to beat up on anybody's religion. I don't want, you know, that's that space. And where schools are supposed to be, you know, we celebrate potentially the diversity of beliefs and expressions. And that's really what a public school is. And so maybe if we talk about, maybe we'll add to Jonathan. In fact, you know, I'm going to call Jonathan, get him on to help him talk through this. Jonathan
talks about accountability, right?
Like, he talks about accountability. Continued
accountability to the community. Now, I'm just saying, I think it was clean and clear before, like private schools have that, you know, that space to, you know, do things privately, and they're not funded by taxpayer dollars. So it's pretty clean and clear. But I think, you know, creating this competition of marketplace for schools, and I'll be honest, the abandonment of rural and urban communities by public schools.
Yeah.
And that's not on the public schools themselves. Like, we've defunded schools and we've made them not as great as they should be for every kid. So in those cases, I'm sort of like, well, here we are, where families and communities are faced with, well, is it the private school that's going to be a better option for education for the young people in this community? In some cases, it may be the only local option. And so that gets us into that moment where I'm like, okay, now we're in a mess where we've defunded public schools to where access is severely limited, and we've forced almost a no choice.
Yes.
On parents, that is costly for both the school and for the parents. We're doing the same thing in medical field right now.
Oh yeah.
Hospitals and private hospitals and public hospitals, which is why I'll plug it again. I love our connection to the AFT, because they are really thinking about bringing labor together in a unique way that is about care and community. And that's one of the biggest teachers unions in this country, and the second largest now organized labor union for nurses. And because our public health and public education system has been marketized to the point where, well, good luck. Hopefully you get access to quality in education or quality healthcare. And if not, is that fair? Is that just? Should that be our democracy? So I love where this is going. This specific instance in Oklahoma, I think, Tim, you and I agree. Let's vote it down. Let's keep private schools private and public schools public. But it is, as you've noted, and Jonathan could come on and speak to it too, it is a very different landscape right now for schools.
Right.
And like, we got to do something differently. So I love that level of accountability. Whoever you are, if you're providing an education, it should be public. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean in terms of how you're supported?
I don't know, man. Leave it at that right there. Because you know what it is? It is time for your moment of zen. Our problem with justice is not a corrupt judge or bribed jury, but the ordinary day-to-day functioning of the police, the law, the courts, where property rights come before human rights.
Awesome. Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom Podcast today. Remember, you can grab great other podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, always on the Civic Media website, or you can get at us at bustedpencils.com. Don't you dare miss this week's Class in Session Wednesday, and you'll find us on Friday for Hurdles and Home Runs. And of course, you can always catch the Busted Pencils broadcast on Saturday, 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations. But that's right, an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.